Hey, this is Kaylee Moore.
And this is Paul Jarvis.
And welcome to the Creative Class Podcast.
A podcast for freelancers.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Yay!
We'd like to thank our sponsor and friends at FreshBooks, purveyors of fine cloud-based accounting software.
FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to all of our listeners.
Yay! So check them out at freshbooks.com/cc and enter Creative Class in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
So Paul, one of the questions I had when I started freelancing, we kind of touched on this in the last episode, but I had a lot of questions related to contracts. You know, how do you know what goes into a contract and how do you know that it's reliable and when do you send it in the process? There's so many questions that go along with that. So I mean, what's your experience with contracts and how have you figured out how to master this part of freelancing?
Yeah, I definitely think that. So one, I think contracts are 100% important for freelancers because you want to set yourself up, not so you can, like, so I think the reason why contracts are important is because you don't want things to devolve into a lawsuit.
Right.
Like the reason why I have a contract is because I don't want there to be lawsuits, right? And a lot of people...
Lawsuits are bad.
Lawsuits are super bad, especially if you're a freelancer. Like, it's a zero-sum game.
Right.
Of if you have to spend time in... And I've luckily never had to do this, but if you have to spend time in court and with the lawyer, like, that's got to the point where things have got really, really bad. So I think a contract really helps avoid those sorts of things. The other thing a contract needs is really just to put in writing what you've already communicated with a client. So I don't think contracts should really include anything new to somebody. It should just restate so you are 100% sure that both parties are on the same page, what you're going to do for them. So like the scope of work, what the deliverables are, how much those things are going to cost, and how long those things are going to take.
I like that.
And who owns what? Who owns what, I guess, would be the bonus for that. And contracts need to be worded in a certain way to cover legal bases and stuff like that. But like the gist of a contract is just that. And that sounds pretty good to me. And that should sound pretty good to any client that wants to work with you as well.
Absolutely. And I think that one of the other things that I know you and I have talked about before is let's just talk about this in general real quick. Let's talk about net 30, because that's a big problem for a lot of freelancers and even going past net 30. So how does that relate to a contract and what do you need to say about, you know, your payment process and expectations around that?
And I'm glad you brought this up because like a lot of freelancers, I had like net 30 or net 60. And I was like, this sucks.
It does.
Like, I don't know why I'm doing the work now and getting paid for something way into the future. Like, and then I was like, oh, maybe if I do net 15, like every problem will be solved. And still I was like, why am I waiting 2 weeks for money? I like money.
Right.
I'm doing the work. I should get paid. So I was like, what if I scrap all that and do net zero for clients? And
da-da-da.
So I kind of figured like, if I'm doing the work now, I want to get paid now. Like it logically in my brain, it made sense. And then luckily I pitched it to clients and they were like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. A couple times, like when I was working for like massive multinational companies, they had to figure out tricky ways to pay me. Like a couple people like broke down because I wasn't going to budge once I figured like, okay, net zero kind of makes sense. I wasn't going to budge on it. So I had people paying me out of like digital petty cash, like doing payments of like $500 a day for a couple days because they weren't allowed to. It turned into a vendor invoice if it was over like $500 or $1,000. So they're like, well, I guess we can just like expense it as like a petty cash credit card thing. I'm like, whatever you got to do. I'm getting paid.
Make it happen.
Exactly. And really all net zero means is that I'm doing the work, so I should get paid for that work now. If you want me to keep doing the work, then you have to pay me right now.
Right.
Not in 30 days, not in 15 days, not in 60 days, right now. And what I found, and you probably have some stories about this too, is like it almost now becomes a race to see how quickly a client is going to pay me in terms of minutes. Like I send the invoice and then like 5 minutes later or 8 minutes later, I get the confirmation that the invoice has been paid and like I do a little I do a little happy dance in my chair, which I'm not going to do right now because my chair is ridiculously squeaky. But I think that that's been like a huge thing for me, and it's in the contract. It says like invoices must be paid immediately on receipt, net zero for invoices. And that's,
listen up, folks.
Yeah,
put that in your contract.
Do it, because seriously, like it kind of makes sense. And the other thing that I think that kind of helps get around is, well, there's a few things. The first is that a client really becomes aware, like, do I have enough money to pay this freelancer? Because newsflash, sometimes clients don't. Mm-hmm. And that sucks when they don't. But if they see that, well, I'm not even going to get this unless I have the money for it. So I have to make sure that I have the money for it. Because I've had a bunch of times where I've had to chase clients down and been like, hey, I've done the work. Like, you have all the work. I want to have the money. Where are you? Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah, I've had that happen a couple of times too. And it's never fun.
Yeah.
It's always worked out well, but it's never, the whole process is just like, ugh, miserable.
I've had it not work out a bunch of times.
Really?
Like, in the early days where clients, I don't even know if I had like terms for payment. Like, this is so long ago. And I got to the point. So I had one client and I was working with them on like multiple projects, and then they missed a payment. And then I was like, hey, can I get paid for this? And they're like, yeah, it's coming. And then they would give me more work. And I was like, oh, I don't want to say no to this new work because I want to get paid for all the work. And so it just kept like racking up and racking up. And eventually they owed me so much money. And I had to just, I was like, what am I doing? Like, what is happening here? And I did actually have to involve a lawyer. I didn't want to sue them. I just wanted like a lawyer with like a legal letterhead to start to send them threatening notes and emails and calls.
Right, because that usually does the trick.
It does. And I ended up getting paid about half of what I was owed. But I really, really learned that I don't want that to happen again. And that's another thing with net zero, is that you're never on the hook. Except for like the very last payment. And the very last payment, it shouldn't be more than like 20%, 10%, like not a whole month,
right.
Not a whole lot. And if a client has a habit of paying you like right away for all of the other payments, chances are they're probably not going to miss that last one.
Right. And you'll probably continue to work with them too, because they pay you on time and it's working well. I mean, the clients who don't end up paying you quickly or at all, or they take a really long time. I've had a couple of those where they're like, oh yeah, I'm just waiting for some money to come in and I'll get you paid quickly. And it ends up being 30 days or 60 days. I mean, it can be tempting when they come to you again and have another project, you know, a few months down the road. But I think it's important to remember that and kind of make notes if you have, you know, a CRM or something you use to manage your clients, or even just a simple Excel spreadsheet of, you know, how long did it take for that person to pay you? Because you can forget if you're working with a lot of different people. That can be something that slips your mind, because that has happened to me too.
I really like that idea of keeping track of delinquents and people,
yes.
And people that pay on time, because I like the clients that pay me on time every time. I like those clients. Right? Like,
right.
They're good clients, and maybe they deserve like a follow-up if you haven't worked with them for a few months, right? Like, you
yes.
can start to kind of sort the good apples from the bad apples in that case. So let me ask you this. What happens if things get outside of the contract, or if people start to ask for things that are not in the contract, even if you've done your job and put like the best contract ever, because that can happen?
That's really tricky. In my experience, if the client and I have had a good relationship up to that point, and it's the first project that we're working on, and it just kind of makes sense to, you know, include an extra round of edits, for example, because we're learning what each other needs, because it's the beginning of a project together. We don't exactly know everything that the other person needs to know. It's a learning process. In that situation, I will sometimes be like, okay, sure, I'll do it this time, but keep in mind that next time it's going to cost X amount, or, you know, I can't always promise that the turnaround time will be the same. I think that that's one of the only situations where it makes sense. But I don't know. I mean, for some freelancers, I feel like if you set that up, it kind of sets a precedent. So it's a really slippery slope. You have to be careful with it. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
I developed a magic sentence is what I call it. And I would always, if somebody asked for something out of scope, I'd always like pretty much verbatim, because I've used this so many times over the years, is I'd be happy to do the work for you. But since it's out of scope, it's going to cost X amount of money and take Y number of days to complete. Shall I get started?
I like it.
And pretty much every time the client's like, okay, yeah, that's cool. Or what they'll say, I find this is a really good sentence, which is why it's magical. It's a really good sentence because it reins clients in. Like if I tell them like, oh, it's going to cost an extra grand and it's going to take an extra 2 weeks to do, then chances are they're probably going to say like, you know what? Let's hold off on that till phase two.
That's true.
Or let's hold off on that until we launch this thing. So I find it's really good. Like it really lays our focus as a client. Like clients are business owners. We're business owners. Sometimes we want to launch with like all the things, all the bells, all the whistles. And sometimes we need somebody to rein us in. And sometimes for a client, it can be the freelancer who's getting paid for the work. So I find that it's really good because it gets clients like to think, do I actually need this thing, right? Like, it's going to cost me more money. It's going to delay the project by this amount of time. Like, if I really need it, then okay, let's do it. If I don't really need it, then let's put a pin in it. And then that's always something you can follow up with a client later, like a month or two after you launch the project. Like, hey, you asked me to do this and that wasn't part of the scope of work in the contract for the first project, but maybe we can get started on that now. And then it's like a pretty easy in for more work if you like that client.
That really is a magic sentence. Look at all you can accomplish with just one sentence.
It's the best.
I love it.
It's the best.
So you're racing against the clock to try to wrap up three different projects. You're prepping for a meeting later in the afternoon, and all of this is happening while you're trying to tackle a mountain of paperwork. Welcome to life as a freelancer.
Challenging? You betcha. But our friends at FreshBooks believe the rewards are so worth it.
The all-new FreshBooks is not only ridiculously easy to use, it's also packed full of features like being able to create and send professional-looking invoices in less than 30 seconds,
setting up online payments with just a couple of clicks, and getting paid up to 4 days faster,
and being able to see when your client has looked at your invoice and put an end to the guessing game.
FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to all of our beautiful listeners. To claim it, go to freshbooks.com/cc and enter creative class in the How Did You Hear About Us section. So what else about contracts do you think that freelancers need to think about here?
This is kind of a common sense type thing, but I've made this mistake before, especially when I was just getting started. Make sure that your contract is not a Word document or a Google document that's editable. It needs to be some sort of locked down format once you've customized it and put in all the things that you need to, even if you're working from a template. You need to save it in a format where the client can't go in and sneakily change anything. You know, I've never had that happen to me, but I have sent it in that format. And I thought after the fact, oh my gosh, that could have happened. And that would have been terrible.
I didn't even think of that. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Like I always send the contracts in PDF format, but there are services like BidSketch, for example, and a couple other ones that I can't think of off the top of my head, where they too send it as like a web page, mm-hmm. like a living, breathing web page where the client can't edit it. Cause that would suck. If you're I don't think I wrote that, or like, I know I didn't write that.
You probably wouldn't even notice till after the fact too. So
yeah,
that's kind of just one of those simple things to keep in mind.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's a good one. I think the other thing, so let me ask you this, do you have, and this is a good question because a lot of creative class students have asked this of me, do you have both a proposal and a legal contract for projects, or is it just kind of mushed into one where you just give a contract that has all the information that a client needs?
So almost everything is in the contract that I use. I use Creative Class Contract for every new client that I work with, but the process details and the project proposal, all of that usually happens within email. And I have some automated, well, they're not automated emails, but they're template emails that I work from. So I'm not writing those from scratch every time. Mm-hmm. And that's where we kind of feel out what the project is. And then all of those details get put into the contract as well. So I don't have an extra document that I do that, because most of the back and forth I've found, at least in my experience, happens in the email setting. So yeah, so I just kind of do it that way. But I mean, what do? You have two separate documents?
Yeah, only because, and I use a creative class contract as well, but only because I want one more chance to pitch. Like,
interesting.
I'm a bit of a salesperson, not in like the traditional way, but definitely in like, I'm really good at selling freelance services just because I've done it for so long. So the way that I kind of set the proposal up, because I want to be like one last chance to pitch my services, is I define what the problem is, like basically verbatim. So if the client came to me and said like, oh, I want to increase my like e-commerce revenue on my store, then I'm going to say like, I will help you increase the e-commerce revenue. Like I basically just pair it back to them what their problem was and how I would solve it. So I define the problem, outline the solution. I usually have a couple testimonials in the proposal,
ooh,
which a lot of people don't do. And I'm like, this is about, like, this is where I'm asking for money. Like I need to show a bit of proof. So I'll have like testimonials kind of peppered through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm still going to put in what the deliverables are, the price and the timeline for the deliverables. And then I'm going to say like, refer to the legal document for things like the process, the ownership and rights, the kill fees, all of that. And then, yeah,
I love that.
I send them both because I kind of like, I want to sell just a tiny bit more. And so I just want like one little less, like, here's what I can offer you. Here's the problem you have.
Yeah.
Here's how I fix this for you. And here's some social proof from other clients that I've worked with who I fixed similar problems for.
Yeah, that really sets the project up for reminding the client of the value that you're going to provide and why they are hiring you over somebody else. So I really, really like that. I'm probably going to steal
that. Nice. Good. And anybody listening should do the exact same thing, because it's different to like just have a conversation with somebody like, oh yeah, I can do this for you. I can do this for you. And then you're like, oh, it's going to cost this much. So when you, it kind of softens the blow of like, now there's a price attached to this client. Now there's a price attached to this project, Mr. and Mrs. Client. Like here's just one last thing that you should know,
yeah,
about how awesome I am as a freelancer.
And it's another one of those documents that makes you look super professional.
Totally.
Like you've got
does.
It together.
You put a bit of branding on it. For me, it's like a,
yeah,
bit of pink, little rat in the corner. It's good to go.
There you go.
It's good to go.
Is there anything else we need to talk about in relation to contracts? I feel like we covered a lot of ground fairly quickly. We got the magic sentence. That's all we really needed, right?
Exactly. So I have jokes in my contract too. Like, I think, what are some of them? I mentioned being paid in vegan donuts and how I no longer accept that as a payment. there's something about gold doubloons. Like, I also think that it's okay to show your, like, personality and your brand and kind of, like, the vibe. Because, like, I joke around a lot. So, like, if I'm doing a project with a client and they're like, why are you joking around with me? Like, that would just be weird. So like, they kind of get,
right,
a sense of who I am before we start working together. So like, I think it's okay in these documents, even if they're like a proposal or something like that, it's okay to kind of be you. Like, it's okay to,
mm-hmm,
to have things. Like, I don't necessarily think everybody should be joking. Not everybody's as funny as I am, which is a joke. But I think it's okay to kind of let your personality shine through, even when you're doing things like talking about money. I think that it's still cool.
Yeah. And that's, like you said, it's your brand voice. It really is just your personal writing, mm-hmm, voice. And it's a good way to kind of get the person you're about to work with familiar with how you're going to communicate. So I love that. I think it's a great way to kind of introduce that in a low stakes environment before you get into the actual project.
Totally. So I think we are at the end of this episode. So I will say thank you very much for listening and tune in next time. What are we talking about next time? Ooh, constructive feedback as a freelancer.
It's a good one.
I like that topic.
Yeah.
Listen to the next episode. Cheers. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to this episode.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes if you like this.
And don't forget to check out our course, The Creative Class, which is at creativeclass.co.